Retired law enforcement officer, security expert, and award-winning storyteller Paul Merrick, along with his co-host Jesse Clay, former Navy SEAL and four-time heavyweight Kumite world champion, together we'll discuss the broad array of current events using their unique backgrounds to further dissect each story. The only question you have to ask yourself is, are you ready to roll?
Mama Charocha.
Okay, see, this time we're prepared.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Cheers. Chin chin.
Cheers. Kanpai. Well, not with these, but...
Welcome back, everybody.
That's good stuff.
So, we're having martinis today because last night, my wife made Croatian sarma for me. Just about put tears in my eyes how good it was. Reminded me of being like, you know, 9, 10 years old again. And
so back in the Stone Age.
Back when men were men and horses were afraid. But anyway, we...
Horses?
Well,
hey.
I'm Croatian.
Shetland ponies.
I'm Croatian. Okay. Anyway, everybody else would be sheep, but, you know, Croatians, it's got to be like... You know, like Clydesdale or something. Anyway, so let me just tell you what this is. If you want, we'll send you the recipe. Just let us know. But basically, you take ground beef and ground pork. You season it. Put a couple eggs in there. You cook up some rice. You mix the rice in with the raw meat and raw pork. Then you wrap it in cabbage. And you take these, basically these big, they look like footballs. You set them in a pan. You cook up this tomato sauce with bacon and garlic and onion and a few other spices.
Yeah, you had me at bacon.
Yeah, right. And you cook that up, then you pour that over these footballs, and you bake it for about an hour. And I'm telling you what, talk about comfort food. So we're going to have some of that for lunch after the show. So I said, you know, probably a better match than whiskey today would be a martini because, you know, the Eastern European thing, they drink a lot of vodka and brandy and stuff.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah, so we're okay. Anyway, wanted to talk to you. So here's what happened. Jesse shows up, and maybe this is just because we've known each other a long time and things kind of, you know, click like that or whatever, but we were both thinking about a similar issue last night, and we started to share it, so we're going to continue to share it with you because we want to get into it too much without you guys being involved.
Yeah.
And that is something that, quite honestly, we don't think about that much. We really don't. Even for our seasoned individuals,
yes.
We really don't think about it that much, but it's mortality. And we were both thinking about the same thing when he got here. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. It works in pretty well with the other topics we had today. But you know, it's weird. You get a little bit older, right?
And just a little bit,
just a little bit. And you start to wonder like, well, wait a second. I've had more years than I've got years left, statistically speaking anyway.
Yeah. But you don't know that.
But do we?
Do we now? Hey, it's like this. Nobody gets out of here alive. The more martinis, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well enjoy it while you're here.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make you think about a lot of other things. It sounds like City Slickers now. Here it goes.
Here it goes.
Stop the presses. Anyway, what we both agree on is that sometimes all of us forget how important family and friends are and just the time you have to spend with them. Because when it really comes down to it, that really is the most important thing.
Yeah, that's it.
You can replace just about anything. You cannot replace time.
Yeah, you know, and you don't want to spend your time. Well, again, this is just not telling you what to do because I really don't give a fuck. But here's the deal.
Ho, ho, ho.
I won't. You can spend your time being angry. You can spend your time being so-and-so did this to me. Or just move the hell on. Find something in life that you're passionate about, and that's what you need to go after. You can forgive, but don't forget. And that's one of the things that I learned a while ago is, you know, shitty things are going to happen. Okay, how do I get around it? How do I fix it? What am I going to spend my energy on? And that's the key point. If you spend your energy on being negative and being I got to get this person back, or I got to do this, and you're going to end up worse for wear. You know, it's just stupid. Just let it go. I mean, if you have that much of an animosity with somebody, just go to them and say, hey, what the hell's going on? Why do you feel this way? Or why did you do that? And then if it makes sense, then everybody's good. If it doesn't make sense, you look at them and go like, yep, you're still an asshole. And you move on.
Life's too short. We've heard that a lot. It's actually very true. Life is way too short to let the little things bug you. And when we do that, sometimes we forget to acknowledge to ourselves really how well we have it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's you look around the world and you see a lot of terrible things that happen. And quite honestly, here in the States, for the most part, not everywhere, but for the most part, you know, we've got it pretty good. And just, you got to, you know, we were, one thing I wanted to bring up was the fact that I think in Europe and in Asia, for that matter, they've got a better take on what's important, because you'll see people there, like when they get together, have get togethers, go out somewhere in town, you'll see all the groups, doesn't matter what the age is, they're all together in a lot of these places. And it's almost every night that people are of some sort or another are getting together.
In a
group. That social type of atmosphere has got to be so healthy and so much better than how we handle things here, you know?
Well, like, look at COVID. Well, we have a different mindset here too. And in other parts of the world, it's all for one and one for all. Here it's, if you're not in first place, you're a loser.
Yeah. Or you're a Karen.
Is that what it is, Karen?
I guess it's Karen. And if we can come up with a better word for it, because we have a lot of friends named Karen. We have a lot of friends named Karen, so that's not fair to them. So.
Yeah, so last night I was fortunate enough to get called by, I've been in a motorcycle community out here in Colorado, and for 20, 30 years, and I've been in a motorcycle community since 1970s. So I've been riding motorcycle for a while. Love my bike. Love the freedom.
They had motorcycles back then?
Yeah, but they, you know, you just kept pedaling.
Did you have like crank them or something to get them started?
No, you got to use some of the crank. But anyway, hey, I'm going to take another sip of this. This is tasty.
Isn't it good? I do know how to make a martini.
Yes, you do. But we ended up going to my first bar when I got in a club in Colorado. And it's called a Stagecoach. For those of you familiar in Franktown, I want to wish a fair adieu to Stagecoach. The gal who owned it died and didn't leave anybody responsible for dealing with the liquor license. So last night at 8:15, they served their last drink, and it was really sad. I got my first real bar fight in that bar, and the guy I got in the fight with was there with his wife. We had a great time. Of course, he bought me drinks, which always works.
The guy you were fighting with?
Yeah. You're talking.
See, now this is awesome. This is awesome. 25,
30 years ago.
What's this guy do now?
He's a surveyor. And he got the job from her dad.
And why did you go fight to begin with?
Oh, he dropped an N-bomb.
Oh.
He's a rancher. And apparently he had just lost his girlfriend fiance of like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
To a black guy. So the first black guy he saw us. For those of you not familiar in Colorado, Denver is where most of the black people are. Fort Collins has got a sprinkling. There's a little bit more in Colorado Springs, and there are very few in Franktown. So his girlfriend, fiance, and this guy met, stole her or took her away. You can't steal somebody who's not there anyway. So that's something we had a little talk about later on when we were over a couple Jack Daniels. But he got a severe ass whooping and then apologized. And then he did what all men do. Hey, man, I'm sorry. I was having a bad day. I apologize. Can I buy you a beer?
That's what a man does.
Yeah. That's what a man does. Not these punk ass kids.
Yeah.
That's what a man does. Just bare knuckle, go at it. No knives, no weapons.
Right.
So anyway.
And one against one.
And one against one.
12 against one. Yeah.
So he got an ass whooping. He took it like a man. Apologized. So I haven't seen this guy in 10, 15, 20 years. It's been a while.
Wow. Well, to us, that's not that long anymore.
So he came up to me and he goes, he's with his new wife, who is, she's really cute, by the way. And he goes, that's the guy that kicked my ass. That's exactly what he said.
That's how I point you out.
Yes. And again, I was the only black guy in the bar.
We'll get you a shirt. I'm the guy that kicked your ass.
Yeah, I'm the guy that kicked your ass. But yeah, it was great. It was great seeing everybody. We had, there was at least 15, 20 different clubs there. Motorcycle club represented last night. I'm not going to mention the clubs that were there just because you're not supposed to. And that's not proper etiquette. But the dominant club in Colorado was there. And I've known those guys for over 30 years. And we were shooting the shit and talking about how fun things were and where, you know, remember so-and-so and he's here and he's there. So kind of reminiscing about what it was. Or remember when so-and-so got stupid and rode his motorcycle through the front door. Got that club kicked out for a while. Anyway, it was a good time.
How many are not with us anymore?
Yeah, that's...
that's what gets you thinking.
Yeah. And, I, you know, the funny thing is once they started talking about who wasn't there,
yeah,
we just stopped and said, we don't want to think about that.
Right.
The stop, and we said, put up your glasses, and we all... so whoever from your club or your friend is not here, this toast is for them.
Right, absolutely.
So well, we did a
you know
toast.
What? Cheers to them again.
Cheers. There you go. Ching. And here we go. Oop.
Mm. Don't forget to eat your olives. You need your protein.
Yeah, I know. There, it was really good time. It was good seeing everybody. It was a lot of fun. People were pretty focused on why the bar was closing, which brings up another point. Get your will, get your shit in one sock, because when you go, you're whoever's left to pick up the pieces is screwed. You know, put something together. You know, write it down, get a lawyer. You can go online now. There's all kinds
of
things online.
There's things you can do.
So
you need somebody who can call us, but he'll kill us if we give his name out. So
yeah. So you want to make sure you have all that stuff done and it's all in the appropriate manner finished. I don't know. I just I've had one done for a while, but now I have to change it now because one of my friends that was on it was supposed to get something I was leaving him, and then he passed before me. So he was in a bad car accident. Trucker fell asleep, came across the road in Utah, hit him head on and killed him. But here,
was
here's
it fast?
To Willie.
Yep.
Little Willie.
Should have made more of these the way this day's going.
Mm-hmm. I know, not a bad idea.
I want to jump back to something because I think it was really prophetic what you described.
Yeah.
And I wish for our youth that we can get back to that point. So it's
the
not
Utes?
A
purpose.
The Utes. The three Utes, or the two Utes, sorry. Yeah. This is the thing. So you talked about we had this fight, duked it out, apologize. Whoever, you know, whoever, and that is going to apologize because two men worked out their situation, right?
Yeah.
I really hope to God that our youth of America can figure that out because life would be so much better. Nobody's ever perfect. People, and until, you know, quite honestly, and I'm not suggesting you got to go fight to figure something out, but sometimes you need to almost get to that extreme, maybe not the fight, but just a good argument or whatever, mm-hmm. to realize, oh, wait a second. And it doesn't have to necessarily be middle ground, just could be, I've been wrong all this time,
yeah.
but be willing to admit it. And, you know, you say, that's what a man does. Women, same thing. That's what a human being does is acknowledge, yeah, you know what, maybe I was wrong. You know,
I really like to hear from the women because most of the females that I know that I'm friends with mm-hmm. have a total different take on how women fight.
Oh, that's mean.
It's mean. It's yeah. nasty.
Yeah, I don't.
And
yeah.
having pissed off a couple women.
No.
I can tell you it's.
Jesse? No, I can't imagine that.
It's not a good thing.
But seriously, I mean, think about how many problems could be solved just taking that type of perspective and attitude towards the situation.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's everybody, you know, that, oh, no, it's all about me, and it's never going to be better. It's never, you know what? Forgive. In fact, we were talking before, I have this idea Jesse agreed. So here's, and we're going to bring this up over the next probably every episode until it really kicks in. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it the Santa challenge. So instead of having to go drink a bunch of bleach or water too fast, Paul, or,
Paul Jr., that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Paul Jr., that is. Hope you got your video and see what happened to your Boston hat. Anyway, instead of all those, here's the challenge. And it's our gift to you for the holidays. And that is, go out sometime this week or during the month of December and do something good for somebody you absolutely do not know. Just to do it. And the reason it's our gift to you is because if you do this, the goodness that you'll feel, how good you'll feel about yourself and just the rest of your day will be so much better that you'll realize, like, it's not about all these other material things and whatnot. I know we're starting to talk philosophical, but that's because we've been drinking vodka, but it's because we're serious. Mm-hmm. You'll feel so good about it that you want to do it more. And can you imagine a world where just even a small percentage of people started to do that, the change, the effect we could have on just society in itself? It's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to buy something. Just do something nice for somebody else that you don't know.
And don't post it.
No, it's don't not post it.
Social media.
No, you lose it.
Look at me.
Character's lost if everybody knows what you're doing. Character is the good things you do or bad things you do
when nobody's looking.
Exactly. So you can't tell anybody about it. We don't want to hear about it. We just want to know that. We just want to give you that opportunity to feel good. Mm-hmm. And so that's the Santa challenge for the year. And we're gonna bring it up every episode for at least a few minutes, because don't you agree that what a great world it would be?
Yeah, just do something for somebody else.
And if you're right, you stand your ground. If you're right, stand your ground. If you're wrong, be willing to admit it.
Just say, hey, I'm wrong, and go for it.
You know, that's just the way to go.
That's what adults do.
Yeah, it is.
I know adulting is hard for some folks, but.
Now we get so heavy in this, we're gonna talk about guns just for a little bit because.
No, there you go.
Because it's fun for us anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Jesse when he got over here, like, you know, I was having this conversation with my son. And I said, you know, it may be true to a certain extent. It's hard to teach old dogs new tricks, because when I was on the force, my two favorite weapons, okay, and we'll describe these for people who aren't really into the guns deal, were a 1911, a Colt 1911.
Caliber.
Yeah, yeah. In the 45, that's right, and a SIG PT-26. The difference between the two weapons, if you can, being that this is the theater of the mind, a 1911 operates this way. You may have seen them on movies, especially in probably military movies. Mm-hmm. It's a weapon where the hammer is already, a lot of times it's in the cocked position, so the hammer's away from the weapon. Mm-hmm. There's a manual safety to hold it locked in place there, and there's a grip safety on the grip of the weapon. So those two things have to be disengaged, basically, in order for you to be able to pull the trigger and fire the weapon. That's what a 1911 does.
Yeah.
A SIG PT-26, best way I can describe it, basically, is the first round, it's like firing a revolver.
Yeah.
You know? And then the second round's, the hammer is back, and those are single action rounds. Mm-hmm. And there's a decocking lever so you can put it back into, you know, double
safe
action
mode,
again.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Those, I like those weapons inherently because they're both very safe to carry. They're also, if you get, you know, the right, like if it's a Colt or somebody mm-hmm. of a good, you know, in like a SIG or whatever, reputable company, very, very accurate and reliable weapons. And I say safety all the time because I know people are out there saying, well, you know, we only have a few seconds, this or that. We got, you know, this is probably better because blah, 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 blah. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Okay. The chances, fortunately, of you actually being in a gunfight are a lot less than Jesse and I. And for us now, being retired, are pretty low too. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the chances of having a misfire or an accident or something are much higher than actually being in that firefight. So the first thing you want to consider is safety.
And yeah, unless you're in the NFL,
yeah,
which has had more accidental shootings than any other professional sport.
Thank you very much.
So there you go.
Exactly. So it's a tool like anything else. The more you have it, the more chances there are for things to happen. You want to mitigate those issues if you can. I decided, like, oh, the next weapon will be something that I'm actually very familiar with and I know is safe. It's probably be a 229 Elite, you know.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Yeah, pretty nice. But I will say, like, if it was something you were carrying that you weren't trying to conceal all the time, I mean, this is just personal preference. I mean, others may have whatever you're comfortable with is what, you know, you should probably be carrying. There's nothing like a 1911 to shoot. There really isn't.
Yep.
But if you got to cover it with clothes and things like that, it was a very close argument to myself about which one should it be. And it's just because of the concealment part that I think I'm going to go with the P229. Mm-hmm. I don't know, between you and I, we probably have a dozen SIGs anyway, and that many 1911s, but they all have their purpose. So, and that's...
If the ATF is listening, I have no weapons. None whatsoever.
No. I have no idea where they went, but except for the ones that I have to report and give the serial number to the department every year. So, yeah, that's the kind of a catch there. I can get it later. I don't know. Jesse gets one martini. He's out here throwing the toothpicks all across the floor now. I don't know what's going on.
They're like,
he's having
like
too much fun.
Stars.
Yeah.
Ninja stars.
So that's a good olive.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Matches well with a good martini.
I know. But anyway, so little side note there. But you know, that mortality thing, what it gets you thinking about is like, really, friends and family. Like, we got all these, I got the bigger house, I got the nicer car. And that's cool. If you can do it, that's great.
Who you try to impress.
But when you're dead, you know the little saying, like, he who dies with the most toys wins? No. He who dies last, happy, wins.
Wins.
Doesn't necessarily mean you have to have the toys, okay? And I know, like, from growing up, and I know same type of background, when you really think about the most important things in life, right? It's getting together with family and friends, sharing a little food and a little drink.
Yep.
That's what everybody looks for. Think about what you do all week.
Not so little.
No. What you do all week long, working, just getting through life or whatever, and then hoping for the weekend so you can get together and relax. What they do in other parts of the world, they do that every night.
Yeah.
They do that every night. And I, you know what? I'm envious of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't take a lot. It's, you have to eat anyway. Maybe you're going to have a glass of wine or whatever, you know, with dinner. Well, do that with friends or family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just, everything is so much better because when you're together, whatever bad is out there is not necessarily or even close to being as bad as when you're alone.
Yep.
So, you know, make a point of doing that. And if it's not so easy for you to do that, you will find that doing something for somebody you do not know, doing something nice,
mm-hmm.
will bring you pretty close to that same kind of feeling.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So Jesse has a really good story. We discussed it. We looked it up online. It's past the statute of limitations. My brother Steve's going to love this.
back in the day. I used to drive from
New York. We're talking about the 70s again.
70s. From Pennsylvania and New York to Colorado. And I would come out here with three other friends, and we'd go skiing. So, but when we came to Colorado, we would, the night before we left or the day we were leaving, we would buy the banquet beer because you couldn't get that in Pennsylvania. So we'd buy the banquet beer and fill up the back of the truck and bring it back to Pennsylvania and New York. Well, I can't remember the exact amount we paid for it here, but it was ridiculously cheap.
That's good beer.
Really good beer. And we had three distributors that are three liquor stores that knew we'd stop to see them on our way up the mountain and then stop to see them to load up on the way out. And normally they had more than ample supply of Coors. So we'd load up the back of the truck till it was level. That was our profit. Everything above that was for us to consume on the way home. Now, do I advocate this now? No. Especially if my kids are listening. Don't do what your dad did.
No. This is how we know not to do that.
This is how we know how to do that. But we drove back, and, you know, with four people, you just drive straight through. Stop for gas. Stop for pre-breaks. It was just fun.
And, stop to take a piss. Yeah.
And grab more beer, or grab one of the beers in the back. Well, I don't remember how much we sold the beer to. It was different. It was different prices to different people who weren't our friends. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And we more than paid for our trip and our lift ticket by selling.
How much were lift tickets then, though?
Oh, Jesus, like $25.
You know what they are now, right? They're like $300 or $400, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, but anyway.
Man, we're old.
Yeah, we are. We're seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we had a great time. And then one of my buddy's father is works for ATF.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, laughing. I guess it was like my 10th or 15th high school reunion.
Yeah.
And his dad looks at us and he goes, "You guys did what?" And then he told us, "You know, that's, you were trafficking. You were bootlegging is what we were doing." So I was an outlaw before outlaws were cool, I guess. Bringing liquor into the state.
And we're pretty sure that's past the statute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If it's not,
we just made this story up, okay?
Yeah,
it's a bunch of bullshit. We just made up because we thought it was cool. Never happened.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to prove it because everybody else is dead.
All the alcohol has been consumed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and my poor little truck.
No, you just made this up. It's not your truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the truck I made up, yeah. But we made a buttload. It was a good time.
My brother loves the Coors. And you know what? I have to agree with him because it's one of the few beers I can actually drink. It doesn't upset my stomach. I'm not a big beer drinker, but I can drink Coors, and it's okay on my stomach. It must have something to do with, I don't know, how the sugar is broken down or whatever.
Yeah.
Boy, good luck
it's
trying to get me
Rocky
to drink.
Rocky Mountain spring water, Bubba.
I'm telling you what. Good luck trying to drink a Bud Light or a Bud or something, man. My stomach goes nuts. Now, that's just me. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying. But yeah, Coors.
Coors beer.
Mountain grown for better flavor. No, that's Folgers. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. You know, we're talking about that. So much. This is how we start to realize, because we don't feel like we're that old. But then you start to realize you are, with these little hints that come across, like, I just went down, ran a couple errands. I was in the store and they had all these big screens up because of like Powerball and Lotto and everything. I said, man, you want to really be cool. You should like put on Christmas Vacation or something on that instead of because everybody can read the other screen, right?
Well, but that's the problem is people will not pay attention to the road and watch.
No. Inside the store. Inside the store. Yeah. I said, but that's kind of, you know, get in the festive mood. And they said, yeah, but then people probably wouldn't leave. And the idea is to get them in here, get what they want, and get them out. But we agree with you. It'd be nicer for us, right? And then I start thinking about it. I go, so we owe it. It's kind of a tradition here at the house. There's a few movies like Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation, and there's a few others. And, you know, like we talk about the Hallmark Channel, there's quite a few on there too.
See, at my house, it's Gladiator.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Die Hard is another
great one. Yeah, Die Hard.
Yeah, I love that, you know.
Yippee-ki-yay,
that's right. That's right. What, are you a John Wayne? I'm kind of more partial to Roy Rogers. I'm like, oh, dude. but the fact is, like, we watch these things and we think of the people in those movies as that's how they are today. I mean, I'm sure everybody does this. But, you know, Chevy Chase is going on 80.
Yeah.
And still very funny, you know, still moves around pretty good. He can still do his slapstick and very physical comedy, which is very cool. But he's almost 80 years old.
What's
he's like 78, 79 years old.
See, I remember his name from the movie, McClane.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
Really,
yeah,
why did Demi Moore.
Why did you have to do that?
You got screwed over.
John McClane is, help us out here, people. Come on, you're out there, name? You're driving down the road, you're listening, you're going, come on, you two assholes can't remember Bruce Willis's name?
Yeah, Bruce Willis, there you go.
As soon as I get asshole, then I makes me think.
Yeah, but then he's got Parkinson's now.
No, he has something. It's not Parkinson's. It's something else that he. And forgive me if I'm off on this a little bit, but I think it's one of those things where he knows everything that's going on. He has trouble verbalizing it.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm not. And there's a interesting name for this. It's kind of a really rare situation, but I mean again. That's a perfect example of why, you know, tomorrow was promised to no one. You never know what's going to happen.
Left
this guy, yeah, this guy, I mean, how many great movies has he made? I mean, really look forward to watching. You know, one of my favorite is because, you know, he was the star of, but co-starred with another very nice Croatian guy in Red. That movie, if you've never seen it, that movie is hilarious. And that sequin to it, too, is... A sequel. I mean, those are hilarious movies. And then something like this happens. You know, it's not as far as we know, nothing he did or it just happened. It just happened, you know. Yeah, so
genetic.
Yeah. But, you know, God bless him for bringing us a lot of entertainment like that over the years. You know, that movie Die Hard? I guess a lot of people passed up the opportunity to make that movie.
Really?
Yeah. I was watching a documentary about it. He was not the first choice. He was the right one to do the movie, obviously. Yeah. He was not the first choice. I want to say, and I apologize if I'm wrong, I want to say that maybe Schwarzenegger and even Eastwood were offered that and turned it down.
I don't think either one of them would have done a good a job as he did. Because it was a fresh face and it was out of...
Yeah. And here's the thing. They're very powerful personalities. Mm-hmm. It would have been their personality in that movie. And what we needed is something, like you say, fresh. Yeah. That just... He created that persona for that movie, which obviously led him to do a lot of other really cool movies, too. So,
see, I loved Red because it was an old guy meeting up with a
guy. I love that
movie. A little
hottie. You know...
Who wanted to be cool.
One of my favorite parts is... And he reminds me, okay, so here's a good story, is Ernest Borgnine.
Really?
Borgnino is his name?
No,
his real name is either Borgnino or Borgnino. I think Borgnino, I want to say. And I apologize if I'm off, but I'm pretty, because Italian guy, right? Lived to be what, 95, I think? Mm-hmm. My stepfather, some years ago, my stepdad was a workhorse. Okay. He just, no matter what, he's always out there fishing, providing for the family, whatever like that. And, you know, just a really happy, good man, but a workhorse really was. And he was, I think he was out there one day, I think he had a bait boat. If I remember the story correctly, and you're watching down from heaven, then, you know, you and my dad are probably, they're grilling at the same time because that's what heaven's probably alike, but grilling some good food and going, that damn kid, you can't even remember the story, right? But I'm going to do the best I can. He had a bait boat and this nice little yacht came by, yacht or I don't know what it was, and bought some bait from him. It was Ernest Borgnine.
Oh,
Borgnini.
Cool.
Borgnini, that's it, yeah. And so... my stepfather could speak like five languages, one Italian being one of them, right? And so could Ernest Borgnine. He was fluent. They start talking in Italian. Oh, yeah. He goes, well, what time are you going to be done with this? He goes, oh, you know, I'll be done here a couple hours. I goes, oh, come, you know, take your boat over here. Come over, let's have a highball or two. And let's just, you know, because he wanted it. It was somebody he could speak Italian to and just, you know, relax or whatever like that. So, okay, sure. And so they're out on his boat, having a couple drinks, just cruising around. He goes, so why is this so important to you? He goes, you know, the thing is, he goes, I love people. I love, you know, all about it. He goes, this is my getaway. It's just Me?
And the water.
And the water. Yeah. He goes, and I grew up around this, and he goes, and I just, you know, I can afford to do it. He goes, and so this is where my little getaway. He goes, then I realize you spoke Italian, you understand that. He goes, it brings me back to my childhood a little bit, you know. So super nice guy, but in red, I mean, they're all, I mean, him and John Malkovich, and I mean, you know, they're playing some badasses, right?
Yeah.
But Ernest Borgnine, he's the records keeper, but he's the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get past that fucker.
Yeah, he's the old guy that knows you. Everything.
Yeah, he's the old guy that knows everything. And unless you're nice, you ain't getting shit.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a great part for him.
Yeah, it was a good. He's a good guy. And he was in McHale's Navy too.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's, I mean, did so many movies. Just,
he was, I mean, I can't remember the name of the movie. He was a bad guy. It was a Western.
Oh yeah. Thanks for saying that, because I'm not going to remember the name of that movie now either. But he played a really good bad guy. Yeah, he was a good actor. He was a good actor. Red. So that movie first comes out, right? I hadn't seen it yet, but our mutual friends had seen it already, right? A few of them. And they said, Paul, you got to go see that movie. John Malkovich is you. I go, I go, what the hell are you talking about? I start getting nervous. You know, like, what do you mean? And they go, no, you could just go to see the movie. The end of the movie will prove John Malkovich is playing you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the end of the movie?
Yes, I do.
For those of you who haven't, I'm sitting in the theater, you know, it's like, I want to say 2000, maybe 10, something like that. Yeah. I think that's when the movie came out. And John Malkovich isn't convinced that the bad guy, I think Richard Dreyfuss, is dead. So he shoots him again after everything's over.
Yeah.
And Bruce Willis says, are you happy now? He goes, yeah. You want to go get pancakes? I swear to God, they were right, because that, I mean, end of the night, all the business has been taken care of,
and you know, time
to go get pancakes. That's just, that's not even a Slav thing. That's just a Paul thing. I mean,
it's not just a Paul thing.
Yeah. I'd
like to do some pancakes too.
I'm laughing in the theater. It's just funny. But anyway, I thought that was really cool. And it's nice when you have a little bit of extra connection between, like, you see somebody on the big screen or whatever, and you go, I know this guy, knew that guy or whatever. So I, you know, I see Ernest Borgnine and I go, and I, you know, God bless him, he's passed now, both my dad and my stepdad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I go, hey, tell me that story again, you know? And it just, it made it more enjoyable because they were a part of that, you know? Yeah. So pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool.
He was
stuff.
On Poseidon Adventure too.
He was.
I haven't even thought about that movie.
He's one of those guys, like, he had a big presence.
Mm-hmm.
And not that he was a little guy or anything, but he wasn't as big as you would have thought.
Yeah.
I think he was like
nobody
45.
In Hollywood is.
Yeah. No, they're not. Nobody is as big as the people in your family or your friends.
Yeah.
No, nobody.
Yeah.
Like we talked about the other day, really the premier, as far as historical knowledge and how to apply the mechanics of boxing works, I don't think there's really anybody else alive today that's any better than Mike Tyson. So,
I mean, seriously. As far as using.
Yeah. But when he was a young guy, he used to get there and start talking about historical, or this guy or that guy, and, you know.
He was a real student of warriors.
Right. Right.
He was a real student of his craft.
And I think still is. But you can ask him about this or that fighter, and he will go into great detail about this is why and this. So, and I think people really underestimated him for that ability.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he really, from a mechanical standpoint, like I was talking to my son last night, and I was telling him about what we were talking about with, you know, those guys got out of line, and he kind of put them back in their place. And I said, granted, he is obviously, even at 57 or whatever, in really good shape, but he derives a lot of his power because of technique.
Yeah, it's all technique.
Yeah, you know, and I told him, you know, you and I were talking, I said, and one thing you have to remember about, you can be huge, you can be super strong, whatever, but if you go against a guy who has better technique, you're in trouble.
You lose every time.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, and so he's strong, right? But his technique is flawless, just about as close as you can get to flawless, yeah. Even at his seasoned age.
If you look at Zingano's fight.
Nagano's, yeah. Or is this Zingano or Nagano? I don't know.
Is it Nagano?
Whatever. I like the guy.
The dude from Africa. The big guy.
The big guy who's chiseled. Yeah.
Chiseled, yeah. Which muscle consumes more oxygen than...
I remember those days, don't you? I was like, I hate him right now. And he's not even young. He's like, what, 35 or something?
Yeah, he's not a young man.
Yeah, but...
But even the way he was throwing his combinations,
yeah,
it was Mike Tyson-esque.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that, though. Yeah. We said, everybody was saying, oh, this is going to be a big joke. Like, you know, Tyson Fury is going to take him out, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, he has Mike Tyson in his corner.
Yeah.
And we'll bring this up again just to show, because when you're older, you want to prove how you're right all the time because, you know, it's almost over. So, and that is, get back on YouTube, get back wherever you can find it, and watch the fight between Mike Tyson and Larry Holmes. And what you will see, pretty much, for a good part of that fight, didn't last as long, is Nagano fighting
Tyson Fury. Yeah.
You fight the shorter guy fighting the taller guy, but the shorter guy knowing actually exactly what to do. Like he was the epitome of, this is what boxing is all about. This is why a smaller man can beat a bigger man, you know. So
but I tell you what, watching that fight, I don't think Tyson Fury took Zingano as serious as he should have.
No.
Their next fight, if Ningano lasts four rounds,
Francis.
I'll be surprised.
Francis.
If Francis lasts more than four rounds, I'll be surprised.
You know what? The next fight, I think Francis knocks Tyson Fury out.
No.
And you know why?
No.
No. If they fight again. So here's the thing.
He made more money in one fight than he's made his whole MMA career fighting Tyson Fury.
Right. So first of all, I don't think they're going to fight again because I don't think Tyson Fury wants to fight him again.
Yeah, true.
And if they did, I think it goes more in favor of Francis again. Just hear me out.
Okay.
Because
I'm listening.
Okay. It's a good argument. Just because they're looking at the fight they had, and he's sitting down there next to Iron Mike, and Iron Mike's going, this is what you did wrong, this is what you should do, this is what... And the next fight will be even worse for Tyson Fury. But I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think Tyson Fury wants to take the chance because, I mean, when's the last time he got knocked down? Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it doesn't happen with him.
Here's the thing. He's fighting a Russian this month.
Oh, the guy with the glasses. Yeah.
He's fighting a Russian this month.
He's going to have trouble with him, too.
Yeah.
That guy's very technical. He's a very technical fighter. Yeah, yeah. So he may not be around to fight again.
Yeah,
so.
He may not. And I think he'll... watching this Russian dude fight,
yeah,
he's a real deal too.
Yeah.
But he's got holes in his game. If you watch him, holes in his game. But if it turns into if Tyson Fury does what he did his last heavyweight defense,
right,
he'll be hard to beat.
He will be.
But he was overweight for Francis.
He always looks like that though.
He always looks like that. Great shape.
Yeah, but he always looks like that.
But when it came, anything past the sixth round,
yeah,
he was still firing on all cylinders. Where Francis was not.
Which is what I'm sure Stipe was watching. Like we've said before, those probably are the two class acts in MMA is Stipe and Francis. Yeah, those guys, they knew who to carry themselves.
But what's his name? Won't let him fight.
No,
because if
Nagano takes back his, that's bad for Dana White.
Yeah.
If Stipe wins, it's bad for Dana White.
Yep.
That's why he didn't let him fight.
Jones.
No. Sergey.
Yeah.
He didn't let him fight. Sergey was supposed to be the backup fight. Backup fighter if someone falls out. Evidently, that was only if Stipe backed out or got hurt or something, not if Jones did. Yeah. Because as we told everybody, Sergey has a lot of holes in his, he hits relatively hard, but he's very open the way he swings.
He swings wide.
Yeah, and we knew, like, and that's why we were not surprised when he was knocked out early. That Alistair Overeem did the same thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And who beat Alistair? Stipe.
Stipe, yeah. Convincingly.
So the last thing...
Who knocked Overeem out like a bad cold?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, Francis.
Yeah.
That's the hardest hit I've seen in the heavyweight division.
Hey, if that guy connects...
His face open.
If that guy connects, the only way you... The only way... I mean, you know, nobody, as we know... Nobody is invincible. He's pretty close to it.
Yeah.
But the way you beat Francis, the only way you probably really beat Francis...
Run around, get him tired.
...is get him tired. You got to take him in the later rounds. Like, if it's an MMA fight, you got to take him in, like, the fourth round and mm-hmm. beyond. And then maybe you got a chance. But early on, he's not going to get tired. He hits so hard. It doesn't matter where he hits you, right?
Yeah.
But... And the thing is, he... So here's the difference is... Like him and Stipe. Stipe hits really hard too. The thing is, Francis is better at taking those punches right now. He's a little bit younger.
Yeah.
You know, that could change too. Everybody gets older, right? Mm-hmm. But he's better at taking those punches. So you have to take him into the later rounds. That's, if anything, if there's a kryptonite for Francis, it's taking
him
in the later rounds.
Deep water.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they did in the first fight. Is he wrestled him and got him tired and mm-hmm. he just couldn't fight anymore. But as far as class acts, those two guys
are pretty up there.
Yeah, I mean they don't talk all that crap and everything about each other. You know, in fact, when they were trying to line up who should be the next, since he's leaving, first thing Francis said is, "How come you don't have Stipe in the top five?"
Yep.
He goes, "I fought him. I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not I won, but that doesn't mean he's not like a great fighter, right?"
Great fighter,
And the you never hear them say bad things about each other at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Well, Francis hasn't said really anything bad about anybody.
Except a little bit of Dana White.
Yeah, well, Dana White's... I mean, I can't... Hey, Dana White's a businessman. He's 100% businessman.
Did you hear what he said about their get-together the other day? They asked him about Bellator being picked up by PFL.
Mm-hmm.
And all he kept going back, he goes, "Well, I've been asked this before. How many tickets have they sold? How many of this or that? How many of that?" Like, he's really trying to, like, bring it...
Downplay. Yeah.
And that's... Granted, to this point, they haven't had the ticket sales that the UFC has had. That doesn't mean that's not going to change.
Yeah.
And I know he's concerned about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be knocking them so much.
Yeah.
If it wasn't really an issue, he'd say, "Well, good luck to him, whatever."
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying.
No.
He's concerned.
Yeah.
He's concerned. Anyway.
Well, because his profit share will go down if they do well.
Yeah, yeah, and they won't be talking to him after every fight. It'll mm-hmm. be they might be talking to Francis. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Anyway.
And then showing the political stuff, I don't like that.
No, you know
the
why?
It's not a political place.
No. We're there to relax and just enjoy ourselves mm-hmm. because we're not in the ring. We get to watch two other guys or women or whatever beat the crap out of themselves. We, you know, it's
and that's another thing. I haven't seen anything on any of the women fighters lately.
You know what they want to do now? Did you see that? They want Ronda to fight Tate. They offered her $15 million.
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Miss Trailer Park.
Hey, now she did a lot for women's MMA.
She didn't do more than my sweetheart.
Okay, is this something we want to tell everybody about?
Cyborg.
Or? Oh, Cyborg. Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
my sweetheart.
Yeah. That's
she's something else.
Yeah,
man.
But she got screwed over too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she did by Dana.
Yeah.
We're not going to have that weight class.
Yeah.
Then they turn around, make her cut all that weight. Well, she almost died.
Yeah.
And because she wanted to fight.
Yeah. It makes you wonder why.
Yeah. See, I knew her and her ex-husband in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. They were great people.
Well, and that shows you why I think Dana White's on the attack, because PFL treats their fighters better.
Yeah. They pay them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how can you own a $10 billion company?
Yeah.
Or how many billions?
Yeah.
And only pay the stars of the show like 20 to 50 grand. How the hell do you get away with that?
Here's an analogy, and probably close to the end of today's show, but here's an analogy that I have between UFC right now, mm-hmm. as it currently is operated, and PFL, which just bought Bellator. You have the UFC is the Walmart of MMA.
Yeah.
And PFL is the Costco.
Yep.
They treat their people better. know? And you know what? In the long run, guess who actually does better?
Costco.
Yeah, Costco. Just like people still go, how come, we got to go do that too. How come In-N-Out Burger is in such demand? Because you go there, they got people all over the place cleaning everything's spotless, and there's a line of cars, like 500 cars out through the parking lot trying to get a burger. Why? Because number one, their burgers are cheaper than McDonald's and 100 times better it's real meat, real lettuce,
and
real
taters
everything.
Are fresh.
Yeah, you can watch them make the taters out of the potatoes right there with a little slicing machine, you
did
know?
You see, speaking of that, did you see the YouTube thing?
No, I'm getting hungry. What?
On McDonald's. Like, everybody loves McDonald's fries. So
they're not real fries. No, they're not.
Yeah, it's all the additives.
Yeah.
It's like, holy cow. And they put sugar in their fries.
Yes.
It's like, are you kidding me?
No. So. You can go in there and in and out and watch. They take that little... Potato masher, or whatever they do to make the fry, and it's a handheld. You put the potato in there and you go down and it, you know, you peel it and then you make the fries out of it. It's all actually real food.
Yeah,
and it's I took Steph, my wife there a couple of weeks ago when they first opened over here in Loveland. Mm-hmm. The lines were out. It's what a cool location, though. Like, you got Sportsman's Warehouse right over here. You got In-N-Out Burger right over here. I mean, it's like perfect, right? Perfect day out. And then you have...
get yourself a gun and a burger, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. But you go in there. We both got shakes because I brought my lactose pill. We both got shakes. And the double doubles.
There you go.
And then we got one fry because their fries are so big, we only needed one for the order, right? Yeah. It was like, I want to say it was like $22.
Yeah.
If you went and ordered basically the same thing at McDonald's, it would have been over $30.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly as good.
No. Fake meat, fake taters.
Yeah. Which is why.
If I want something fake, I'll go to Vegas.
which is why, like, just a little side note. Which is why it took so long for In-N-Out to get here is because they require that any retail outlet be within 340 miles of their processing plant because they keep their meat fresh.
Yep.
And so they have to be within 340 miles. They've got it down to a science, 340 miles. So when you get the meat, it's, you know, they're cooking it that day. And you know what else? The Costco analogy, right? Mm-hmm. They pay their people well. I looked this up the other day. As of 2018, do you know what an In-N-Out Burger manager makes a year? 2018, no, $160,000 plus.
Really?
Yeah, and that was 2018. Wow. So right now you got to figure probably $200,000.
Yeah.
You know, how much do you think? I think the manager, I want to say it was like $60,000 to $70,000 at a McDonald's. You pay for what you get.
Yep.
And then you pass that down
and
to the consumer.
Excellent service.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we should probably do that next week.
Speaking of service, I agree with that, but I need another martini.
Okay, and you need food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to go have some Sarma, another martini. Hey, last thing, Santa challenge. Try it. You'll like it.
Be good to someone.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
Next week. Adios.
Mission Complete will be back soon. We will never change our tune. We thank you for your loyal support, so please subscribe and share our port. Sound off, 1, 2. Sound off, 3, 4. Sound off, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's roll.